Two flying schools in Auckland are teaming up to create the country's biggest pilot training organisation. Ardmore Flying School and the Auckland International Pilot Academy have announced the venture today, saying it'll give the region a pilot training offering in line with its population. The Auckland Pilot Training Group, as it'll be called, will operate out of two campuses, one at Ardmore near Papakura and the other on the North Shore near Silverdale. The move comes amid concern at the wait international students have been experiencing in securing visas to train as a pilot here, and a shortage of pilots across nearly all aviation jobs. Aviation Industry Association Chief Executive Simon Wallace is in the studio in Wellington with me. Good morning.
Good morning, Catherine.
Irene King is the Chief Executive of the Auckland Pilot Training Group's Ardmore Campus. Irene, good morning.
Good morning.
So you've added another job to your decades in the industry. How long has this amalgamation been in the offing?
Yes, I have. About 8 to 12 months of work went in behind this. And, you know, it's a response to the environment that we're really working in today. It's the cost pressures are enormous, but we have, on the other hand, massive opportunities in terms of training people.
All right. Some of the benefits of Auckland being the base, are they fairly self-explanatory or not? Could you talk us through them?
Sure. Look, you know, Auckland has the dominant aviation group in New Zealand. About 54% of aviation contribution to the New Zealand economy comes from Auckland. And so we have, you know, all the key carriers based up here. But we've got some really serious supply chain issues. And those supply chain issues are really related to a number of the government policy settings. The government froze pretty much all our policy settings in education back in 2013. And on top of that, we have a problem of training pilots. It's not that we don't train quality pilots. It's that we still have syllabus and regulations based on post-war New Zealand.
Okay. Well, we're a bit on from post-war New Zealand. I'll come back to the immigration stuff. But can you give us an indication of the scale of what this means of the two coming together? How many aircraft? How many simulators? How many instructors? How many students?
Sure. We'll have just slightly in excess of 30 aircraft. We'll have 40-plus instructors. But the issue is the quality. You know, we've got a good mix of the top quality instructors. We'll have 4 simulators available to the group. For people wanting to train, the key point is that instead of doing, you know, prescribed set intakes, we'll be able to do a lot more intakes. There'll be a lot more potential to, you know, taste what training's like in Auckland.
It will make you the biggest school. What does it mean for competition in New Zealand for training schools? There's at least another 4 that we've identified around the Motu.
Well, it doesn't really change any of that because, you know, that's controlled by central government. So, you know, we suddenly don't, you know, attract a lot more students from down country because central government allocates where all the student loans are going to be funded. But what it does mean for New Zealanders who are interested potentially in joining, you know, a large training group, we have the ability to intake them when they want to join us, as opposed to, you know, some set prescriptive dates. And that's what we're getting. We're getting a lot more flexibility, a lot better utilisation of resources. These resources are extremely expensive. But we can also develop high-quality offerings, and I think that's the key to what's going on here.
Will you, or are you hoping to become a preferred flight training organisation, FTO, for Air New Zealand?
Well, at the moment, we sit outside that family. whether they would like us to join them, as you know, it's really, that's Air New Zealand's call. Yes, we will. Our aim and objective is to have increased numbers and high quality leading edge training, and underpinned by, you know, a really good corporate philosophy between the two organisations.
How many students could you take a year, did you say?
I haven't actually covered that point yet. Well, it's pretty flexible, but I think we'll probably be able to take up to 200, 250.
Okay. Will they mostly be international students?
No, our focus is very much on being predominantly New Zealand based and therefore New Zealanders, because, you know, this is a very attractive career. So at the moment we're about 75% New Zealand, and the balance is international. We'll stay broadly within that range.
And they find jobs without difficulty?
Now, the finding the jobs is challenging. There's no question about that. But we are looking at some international linkages into airlines. We are also working very closely with a number of second and third tier operators here in New Zealand. But there is this problem that we are training. Our syllabus is, you know, it's pretty much structured in post-World War II New Zealand. And, you know, we need to train for modern jet operations based on, you know, flying by wire and flying by instruments.
Okay, I'm just trying to understand what you're meaning by that. So post-World War II New Zealand was a very long time ago and a few aircraft ago. Are you saying that there's still a very heavy focus on manual flying as opposed to more computerised? Are you saying there's too much of a focus on that?
Yes, absolutely. Look, we just are not at the. We're not delivering. We're delivering good quality, but it's not what the airlines in today's context need.
Well, we always say you only need a pilot in an emergency, essentially. So where do you set? Well, sorry, one of the best in the world who landed a plane in the Hudson River told me that. So where do you set the bar to train for manual flight of a plane that you will hardly ever fly fully manually, but that's when you're going to be needed the most? When and how do you set that bar?
Well, you know, we've got some really cool tools emerging. At the moment, we can deliver throughout New Zealand electronically our theory training. So we can get people started at a very early age with theory training. And then what we want to do is to shift them into a range of aircraft that will graduate them through and give them all of the fundamental skills. We're not talking about compromising any of the fundamental skills here. But what we are saying is that they must be capable of moving very smoothly into airline operations. And we're not talking in New Zealand here. We are talking the likes of Sunair and Barrier Airlines, who now all operate on instruments. So they have got to be capable and comfortable and highly skilled and working with instruments on the flight deck.
So are you saying it's an and
all of those
and
fundamental skills?
It's an and.
Yes,
and.
It's
okay. Thank you,
Irene. And.
Simon Wallace is listening in, Chief Executive of the Airline Industry Association. Let's pick up on that first of all. The adequacy of the training or the applicability of the training. Simon, would you pick up on what Irene was talking about there?
Yeah, look, could I just congratulate Irene on her initiative? It's a great initiative. It's going to add a lot more capacity, particularly in the Auckland region. We've got about 12 flight training schools in New Zealand. At any one time, there's probably 1,000 to 1,200 students training annually. Of those, at least 40% would be international students. So Our flight training market in New Zealand is very dependent on having an international base. Our flight training organisations just cannot operate without having international students. And that is why the immigration issue is really important. In pre-2020 we had...
We started talking off about the actual... I'll come back to immigration.
Yeah,
I know you want to talk about that. But my question was about what Irene is saying about updating the syllabus and the way things are taught. Do you have a view on that? You were nodding when she was talking.
Look, I agree with her. I'm not the technical expert, but this is what I hear from my members about the sort of initiatives that we need to be doing. One of the things that I can talk about in terms of the whole training policy, particularly for domestic students, is we need to change the student cap, you know, to be able to get domestic New Zealanders into training.
What's the cap?
The cap is currently 70,000, and as Irene said, it's been that since 2013. To train to be a pilot over a 2-year period is $100,000 to $120,000 currently. So,
what else is needed?
Well,
we need
the cap to be lifted.
Right.
We need the cap to be lifted because there is a good career pathway in aviation. Over time, students will have a loan and will have a significant loan, but over time, there is a very good career pathway in aviation, just as there are in other industries, and there will be a return on that. So that policy has not been changed for 10 years, and successive governments have ignored the issue. It's a real barrier to getting domestic students into the kind of training that Irene is providing.
So your other key point is immigration. We seem to be in a slightly different place from what I was hearing from Irene. First of all, getting people into jobs. What is there a shortage of pilots?
Well, you've seen from the press release from the Auckland Pilot Training Group, the number of pilots that we're going to need by 2040 is 500,000 or 600,000.
Okay, but we're in 2024. Globally. We're at 2024. So at the moment, when people leave this training school, will there be sufficient jobs for them?
There will be jobs. They may not be the jobs that they want. They may have to be an instructor. The pathway is to be an instructor and then to move up and gain more seniority, work in a general aviation environment, which is beyond just commercial airlines, working in agriculture, working in tourism, and then into the larger airlines.
So are we back in the old argument where New Zealand citizens aren't prepared to do certain jobs and the industry wants to migration to fill the gap? Is it the same old argument?
No, absolutely not. But for the sustainability of our flight training schools, we've got it, as with other industries.
So they need an income stream.
They need
like
an income
a
stream.
Like a university or anywhere else.
Absolutely. It's like any other industry.
They need an income stream.
They need that income stream so that we can get our domestic students into those flight training organisations.
How much loosening of current immigration settings do they need to be to enable them to be financially sustainable?
So the immigration issue is about the visa processing. When we went public, when the Aviation Industry Association went public with this issue in January, we have seen an improvement from immigration. It's still not where it needs to be. When you have Australia processing visas for international student pilots in 5 to 10 days and we're doing it in 30 to 60, we're losing market share. We had only 96 international student pilots come into New Zealand last year. We had 700 pre-COVID. So we've got to improve in that immigration space. That is what my members in the industry are telling me.
Quickly back to you, Irene. Will this new merged largest in the country academy survive without an income stream from student visas, international student visas?
Not in the sense that we've done a lot of market research about the demand for pilot training in Auckland, and we understand, you know, that sits around about 600 people at the moment. I think we are fortunate in the sense that, you know, we live in a very wealthy city. Oh, sorry, we work in a very wealthy city. And so this group's reliance on foreign pilot trainees is not as great as some other groups. Now, don't get me wrong, we do want foreign pilots, but we have a slightly different model from the rest of the industry in the sense that we have a global international outsource department, and they operate in multiple markets around the globe. We've had that relationship for 4 or 5 years now, and that underpins as well this Auckland pilot training group.
Very good. Thanks, both of you, Irene King and Simon Wallace.